When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
A rough couple of weeks for the Philadelphia Flyers. They are getting called soft by the head coach, and Fed Otoff makes his debut in the NHL. Let's talk about it all right now. It is episode 173 of Orange and Backcheck. Thank you so much for listening, as always, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network and DraftKings Sportsbook. Use promo code THPN when signing up to get your bonus. Oh man, is this gonna be an interesting final six games for the Philadelphia Flyers, just clinging to that final third spot or wild card spot to try and sneak in at this point to the playoffs and make some noise there. But it has been a rough couple of weeks and games for the Philadelphia Flyers. They got through the gauntlet, all things considered, pretty handedly, as best they could, considering their injuries, their lack of skill at the against these teams. Got through it okay. Then you had a couple of games where you were like, okay, get some points here, full 2-point games, and go from there. And they have not been able to do that against Montreal and the like in Chicago. And it has, I think Torts is certainly reaching his breaking point with this team. One exciting thing is, and it's a, we'll get into it on what it really does mean, is the sudden appearance of Ivan Fedotov, Fedotov here in Philadelphia in the United States. It's crazy there. But Scott, this has been a hell of a couple of weeks here for the Flyers. Are you ringing the bell of nervous, or are you just kind of like, let's see how this shakes out? This is really all you can do.
This is what it's all about, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the time of season where you need to, you know, put up or shut up, you know, giddy up and get going, or, you know, crawl back into a hole and let another team take you over. I mean, I think it was pretty eye-opening for this team that the Capitals really climbed the pace. But, I mean, it's, you know, the Flyers haven't been playing well in the last month. They've lost 11 out of their last 15 games. They've lost five straight, and they're 2-5-3 in their last 10. So, I mean, in this month of March has been tough on them. And we understand there is the gauntlet. I understand that. But at the same time, you know, the issue is that there's just, I don't know what it's just because of the injuries that happened, like to Nick Seeler and the Jamie Drysdale and the defense being depleted. Sam Ersson looks like he's gassed at this point. I mean, I don't know if they had it in the whole situation with Fedotov where, you know, they knew he was coming, which is why they didn't go get a veteran at the deadline, which makes more sense to me. But Ersson just, he doesn't look like himself. I don't think it's the pressure. I just think you have a young goaltender who is thrust into a situation playing a lot more games than he should have been. And it's just not, you know, you kind of see the glimpses of a young goaltender of what happens there. Jake Ottinger is one of the best goalies in the league in Dallas. And, you know, he had a really bad slump in the last 2 weeks. He's really ticked it up and gotten back. So, I mean, hopefully if they can sneak in and get there in the playoffs, that, you know, things will shape it up a little bit. But listen, you know, this is a situation where you got teams on your heels, and, you know, the Caps after tonight, they're going to still have two games in hand, and the Flyers are hanging on, but they have to start playing better hockey overall, and hopefully getting Seeler back, Drysdale back. Hopefully Couturier is not out long term with that injury he suffered last night.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if all those things start shaking right, then, you know, it'll, you know, things can happen.
After I do, it really depends on, like, how do they respond coming up this coming Friday? They have this long break, long-ish break that they've had. And I think it's got to be their last long break of the season before the end. And it's like, you heard Torts after, I think it was Chicago, say, this team's just gassed. Like, we need a break here after Saturday into Monday, or Friday into Monday, and just try and figure out what you can build yourself back up. And then you have a second period like you had the other night, and it's like, I don't think this team, it doesn't seem, as I should say, that this team has it in them yet to get to that point. To your point about Ersin, he's played 46 games. I don't think that was in the cards going into the season. They were not anticipating the Carter Hart drama or anything right. like that. And I would be absolutely floored if come Friday, Ivan Fedotov is not in net on Friday night. He's got to be. Like, if it you got to give these Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, that's great that Ersin's getting that those couple of days to build his energy and get back into a rhythm. But he looks like a guy that just watched from the bench for a little bit, similar to what we were saying with Coots and the controversy around that in that benching. Like, take a second, take a couple of games and reset yourself. Ersin needs that bad, and you couldn't rely on a guy like Sandstrom or Peterson to provide him with that while also not harming your chances at a playoff spot. And we'll get into what Fedotov means for this team, but obviously Torts made some waves after last night against the Islanders, and it's like, this guy is trying to do what he can do in his old school style of getting this team ramped up for the playoffs. And you heard him go off on the post game about they played soft in that second period. I don't think anyone can really disagree. Called out, didn't name anybody, just called out players for playing soft. For this is, I'm glad it's regular season, but it's a different level of the play regular season. You're on this tier that clearly these guys either haven't been a part of, or they haven't been a part of in a substantial way for a long time because of the circumstances that this team has been in. I've seen ranges from, depending on the metrics that you're reading or the math that these websites are doing, I've seen as low as 42%, and I've seen as high as now 63% chance that the Flyers make the playoffs. I am very nervous about this team. I am very, very nervous. I think if you told me tomorrow or by the end of the season, like, they're not making this playoffs, I might take that bet that they're not going to make the playoffs. I think this team is mentally exhausted, mentally not capable yet. It's not a shot. I just don't think they're there yet because they're relying on a lot of youth. We're relying on two young goalies now, despite Fedotov's age. I'm very nervous, truly very, very nervous about what these last six games are going to bring for the Flyers fan base and the team.
Listen, it's a very possibility that they could miss, and I'm still hanging on to my thing. I expect them to get them in and win around. I think that the problem is right now is that it's really showing with these teams really clamping in here that the Flyers just don't have the horses to pull the cart yet. They're you know, and just that, and I go back to that analogy because, you know, they have the goods. It's in the cart. They have what they need today. They don't have the horses to pull it enough in the right direction to get it to where it needs to go. That's where your elite talent comes in. With this team, Torts has tried the different things with trying to spark the Couturier with that situation. Last night, calling this team soft, I loved it. I absolutely loved it because that is a direct challenge. And you know him. He's not a guy where he's brutally honest, but he doesn't throw his team under the bus. He did last night, and I don't blame him one bit. He even said that second period was soft. The only player that came to play was the goaltender, and he's right. He's absolutely right. The only player that showed up in that second period was Fedotov. And I'll tell you what, I think you're starting to see some guys who probably aren't going to be here next year with the way his comments were that. We're like, yep. Some guys just don't have it in them. They just don't have it in them. And it makes you question, like, who could that be? I don't think, you know, I know you and I talked before the pod that, you know, you thought it might have been Morgan Frost because of that turnover. But Morgan Frost has stepped up, and Morgan Frost has done well enough for me where it's like, okay, he is what he is, but I don't think he's a guy that you just, you know, he has too much skill in order to give away. I think a guy like Joel Farabee is a guy where you might have to think about benching him sooner rather than later, let him sit from the bench, because listen to his stats, all right? Joel Farabee on the season has 21 goals, 28 assists, and 49 points. That doesn't sound terrible, right? Doesn't sound too bad. He's 40, almost a 50-point player, 76 points. But let's take a step back and look at Joel over his last 20 games. He's got 4 goals, 3 assists, and his last 20 games. He hasn't scored a point in the last 6 games. And in his last 10 games, he's got 2 goals and an assist. I mean, you want to talk about guys not getting it done? They gave him a contract to be able to do that type of thing. And I tell you what, he's been invisible lately. And Joel Farabee is a guy where you look at his shots on goal, even the shots on goal, there's not much there. I don't see him really digging into where he needs to be right now. And I think that was a direct shot at him. And I think that it's warranted.
I think it's also about Cam Atkinson. When was the last time we talked about Cam Atkinson in a way that he was making an impact? We haven't seen this guy, it feels like, in all 70 plus games.
Probably 70,
78 games or 74 games, 75, whatever it is. He hasn't scored, I think, in 16, 20 games, something like that.
He's streaky and towards his
bench. Yeah, but this is different. Streaky is different than what this is. This is just, he hasn't been heard of or heard from, it seems, all season long. And to your point about, you're finding out what guys are going to be here next year and beyond, man, it's going to be another – I think we all anticipated Kevin Hayes and Ivan Provorov to be gone after last offseason. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be some shocking names that are moved on after this year, no matter what happens. They could get into the playoffs, win a round you predicted in our preseason pods, and they'll still make a shocking move here and there. The way this team is structured right now is not something to be proud of, or something to build off of. Well, no, that's
no, no. You can build off.
You can build off this team, but there are parts of it that you're like, okay, we need to replace this and soon. Otherwise, it's not going to continue to build as we're anticipating it. So,
listen, I think you're right in a sense, but a guy like Morgan Frost, who has had a lot of points in his last 10 games, you look at his last 10 games, he went scoreless in 4 straight: Ottawa, the Blues, the Panthers, and the Lightning. He had 2 points against the Sharks. And let's see, he went on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 game point streak, got shut out against Florida, had a point against the Rangers, 2 games without a point, and then a point and then a goal last night. I mean, listen, he's the guy where, I'm making an example of where, okay, when I see a guy that say he's playing soft, it's a guy who's got 7 points in his last 20 games, a guy who hasn't had a point in the last 10. Or I'm sorry, you can't even muster up an assist. Ryan Poehling's been scoring goals, for crying out loud. Granted, they play with 11 forwards last night, so it does mix with it a little bit, but that's an excuse at that point. You have to step up in that game. And listen, if you take a step back, you have to say the sky is not falling here, okay? Let's realize they're not in a position where people expect them to be in the first place, most people.
I don't know. The reason...
At the beginning of the season.
Yes. But expectations change. We talk about this in sports all the time.
Agreed.
When teams continue to flourish, when they aren't anticipated to, the sliding scale of what the fan base expects from you is going to adjust. And now that they have been in the third spot, for the most part, handedly in that third spot in the Metropolitan for 65 games. And then after game 66 on, it's been a living nightmare. This team has felt very 2021, 2022-esque in that sense. I'm not saying that it's that bad, but it has that feel. And that's why I think if they don't make the playoffs, and right now they're in it, which is the thing. And the other thing is, Washington is not a good club. They're not a good team. Like, they are right now, I think last I looked, minus 31 on the goal differential.
Yeah, minus 31. Well, they're Flyers not are good. Minus 17.
Flyers is minus 17, and they're only minus 17 because I jinxed them. I am completely at fault for that.
I don't agree with that, but whatever.
But that. You know what I mean. But
I do.
I truly think, like, the what is good for them is that the teams behind them are not good either. The Devils are not good. The Capitals are not good. The Red Wings, fine. But that's only in the wild card situation. You can win this third seed. And if you don't, and you don't even make the playoffs, this fan base is going to be very, very disappointed. And I'm not saying you're back to square one in terms of building them back up in terms of what they're bought into, because they're bought in right now. But you take a step back and you have to rebuild that trust to some extent. Not entirely.
I don't agree. I think that you're at the most exciting point in the season right now. You know, I think that there is a team here where there are a bunch of guys here who are banding together to try to get in and make that push. But the thing is that they're close to the finish line and they're running out of gas. And I think that with the little kick in the ass they got, getting Drysdale back helps, getting Sealer back helps.
Huge.
Yep. They're massive improvements because Sealer's going to block a lot of shots, which is going to help your penalty kill. You're not going to give up goals. Drysdale's going to improve the power play like he did when he first came over. I think with this team, the question comes back down to the only question that Philadelphia has: goaltending. And really, like, we know, we already have the answer. There's not a lot of top end talent, so they're not going to be able to outscore teams. But they're built to play playoff hockey because they're a team that, while they do put a lot of shots on net, you know, they're not getting great scoring chances. They're more or less like getting blue collar, dirty style goals, but they play a strong defensive style. With them, though, is that now, this late in the season, you've gotten your quote unquote starter nearly at an empty tank, an unproven goaltender from Russia, playing in the KHL, which is a totally different mechanics than a totally different game than it is. Coming in here now and saying, okay, now what? Now what do we do here? You know, I think, like you mentioned earlier, Fedotov does get the start on Friday. But when you look at the bigger body of work, it's not even just the minutiae of who's starting in net, getting the players back. The team had bad losses against Montreal, bad loss against Chicago. Like, these are teams that you have to run over. Like, you have to prepare for them. And you're getting ran over by them. Yeah, you got up for a game against the Islanders. You still blew it in overtime.
It's significant, yeah, and bad. That turnover cannot happen from Morgan Frost.
Listen, 3-on-3 doesn't happen in the playoffs. We know that. We can go through all that. But where I'm at right now with these guys, I still think they get in. I think looking at it now, while I expect them to win a round, if they have to play a team like the Hurricanes, do they have enough in the tank to go into a long series against a team like that? Do they have enough in the series to get into a team with a team like the Rangers and play against the Rangers? Those are big questions. Or if they get down to the wild card, if they get down to the second wild card, they're going to have to play Boston or Florida. And that's a really, really hard first round. Boston wants revenge from last season, but Florida, as good as they are, the Flyers have played very well against Florida this season. So, but to not get ahead of ourselves, they still have to finish the season. They have 6 games left, and they've got to get, if there's 12 points available, they need at least 8. They have to get 8. They need to cross the 90-point threshold because the Capitals are right on their heels, and it is a concerning thing because I don't think the expectations will change or people will get upset. To go back to your original point, I don't think people obviously would be upset. But I don't think the expectations change, you know, and the fans like, it was all a joke, whatever. I think it really, they're going to look down late in the season and look and say, okay, who fell apart, who stepped up, and which ones are going to be part here of the winning culture? Because at the end of the day, it's not about just resetting culture. It's about setting culture of winning. Guys like Owen Tippett, guys like Morgan Frost, guys like Travis Sanheim. My God, Travis Sanheim, end to end last night, not afraid with it. Excellent. Guys like Ryan Poehling, right, you know, Garnet Hathaway, Sean Couturier, those are guys you want to keep around. Like, you know, obviously you're going to keep around Sean Couturier. Travis Konecny, You know, you've seen a different level out of his game. He's really taken on that leadership role this year, and I respect that. Cam York has even had some moments where he's looked really well, and I haven't noticed him too many in games, but if you don't notice a defenseman, that's a good thing. But I go back to Joel Farabee, who's been completely invisible for the past month and a half, and it's like, when he mentioned that soft comment, I think that's what he's mentioning too. And not to talk in a circle, but the point is, I don't think fans will go, oh man, it was one big joke. I think yet it's still, you're rebuilding, you're doing the foundations. There's been a couple times in Flyers history where they've lost the playoffs in the last couple days of the season, or I think in the late 70s or mid early 70s, they lost it in the last game of the season in overtime. Like, they lost a chance to go to the playoffs. So, I mean, you know, it could be that tight. We've seen the glory of it against, like, you know, in 2010, and we've seen the bad of it too. So, I mean, it's still, I think they get in. I just think that this couple days rest here is really, hopefully for these guys, they get a reset. They come out, they play on Friday, and they just run train, because really, you have an opponent coming up in the Sabres where, yeah, you're on the road, but you got to beat them. They're not good. You got to beat them.
You got, exactly. That's really what it comes down to. Like, these, you can't pussyfoot around these non-playoff teams. Like, what made them, what made us think that that gauntlet was a success is, yeah, they didn't have a winning record, but they secured points where they needed, and they at least went toe-to-toe with many of these teams. Like, they have a pretty good track record against these contenders this year.
Right.
Which is a good thing for the playoffs. But you still got to make it into the playoffs to make that actually mean anything. And it might still not mean anything because of how the playoffs operate.
Right.
The other thing is, and we've been talking about it with Fedotov and Ersin, have no idea what we're going to get from these guys. Especially now that we have a guy we didn't even anticipate to see ever again. Like, in Ivan Fedotov. Yeah. We had no idea. So I want to talk about that. But first, as always, this episode of Orange and Backcheck is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Hockey games are moving faster than ever. The playoffs are right around the corner. And bet along with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Like I said a couple weeks ago, I took the over on the Flyers 75.5, and I hit it. Now I'm just hoping I can hit on that playoff appearance, and we'll see how it, and then I'll feel really good about myself. But it's a little, feeling a little sketchy at this point. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now with promo code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. The NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. Well, the Flyers have a new 1A or N1B, I guess, in terms of their goalies with the all of a sudden.
Saddle yet, Bill. I mean, God, the Flyers played like 40 minutes game of hockey.
Yeah, but Ersin's
not even a full game. He hasn't even played a full game. He's played 40 minutes.
Yeah.
42 minutes.
Suddenly, there were reports a couple days ago that the contract of Ivan Fedotov's KHL contract was suddenly void. After less than a year, I don't think he got a full year in it. I think he was CSK Moscow. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. KHL is a joke. And then the rumor from Elliot Friedman on, everyone was like, no, he's coming. Like, this is planned out. This is happening. Mm-hmm. He's coming over. And the next day or 2 days later, the Flyers tweet out, he's here. And we're holding a press conference at 11 a.m. And then all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, they have a new goalie, a new backup, a new potential starter. and a guy that was supposed to be over here last year is now here. Insane. I mean, it's nothing. This is a good drama, but there's always drama surrounding the Flyers. You think like, okay, we're past the trade deadline. Nothing's going to happen. And then all this happens. Kutz gets benched, and now we have a new goalie. Your thoughts on him coming over finally?
It's big.
Literally, it's huge.
It's big. It's massive. It's 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot, you know, whatever the rest of that lyric is. Isn't that a Lil Wayne thing?
That's Lil Wayne. I just wanted you to let that stew. Yeah.
A little one of those bad dad jokes. But I was actually really surprised by that. I think everybody was. But it made sense to me, like I said earlier in the pod, I think it made sense to me because when you go back and you think about why they didn't acquire a veteran at the deadline, you had to think this thing was in the works then. Yeah, this is not something that just probably snaps the fingers and it's done. Apparently, from what Elliot Friedman said, he wasn't happy over there. He wasn't playing well and decided to let him go. So, you know, after being sent to Siberia and imprisoned or whatever and having the illness
arrested
and everything.
Suddenly,
and,
yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot about the illness. Yeah, that was illness crazy.
And then having these, you know, it being in or there's Saudi Arabia or something or somewhere extravagant with those shirtless pictures or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, he's here. He's here in Philadelphia. The only concern I have is when he first walked in with the picture, you see a back brace. He's where he's holding a back brace, a package with a back brace.
Oh, yeah. I think
and
it
I'm
was.
Like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Like, yeah. You know, like, come on, man. But
that would be awful. I'm pretty sure. I got to imagine that's like, I mean, I doubt he was flying coach coming over here. But, you know, you got to get back support because we're all in the everyday man seat of the plane, part of the plane. So you got to those seats are uncomfortable. Can only imagine.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He probably needed to come over on his own, you know, special plane, you know, to be able to sit in one of those seats.
Yeah.
You know, that's how tall people do.
I wouldn't know. I'm not tall.
I mean, think about it this way. I mean, you know, I want to see what kind of car you're driving. You know, he's not trying like a Prius or anything like that. He wouldn't be
right.
able to fit it.
Yeah.
You know, his knees would be around his chin. So, in all seriousness, I think this is actually a good development for the Flyers because, first of all, it's not like he's going to come in and be the savior. You know, he's a guy who comes in. He's got experience. He's got an international experience. He's got an experience in the KHL. He's played well in the Olympics, which is not quite NHL hockey, but it's the closest thing you're going to get to it outside of North America. With that, he is a 27-year-old goaltender. That he's at his peak right now. He's in his prime. Goaltenders really hit their prime from like 27 to 31, like 32, and then they rely more on the experience because they start losing a little bit more of those reflexes in their mid-30s. The injuries start getting banked up. The hips start going when all the butterflies and stuff. With Fedotov, the way I look at Fedotov is that this is a guy where it's going to be more of teams are going to have a hard time getting around him because he's so big. You're going to have to pick corners. You're going to have, you know, wide open shots like Brock Nelson did last night, right in the slot. Yeah, look at the first save he made. Technically, the first save was off a stick, but the first real save he made was a breakaway. And you can't ask for more than that. The way he saved it, it went in and out of his glove and came back down with it. And sorry, my wife is watching the Phillies.
I think Bryce Harper's about to
hit might have hit a grand slam.
I think he hit a grand slam.
And he might have hit a grand slam. Jesus.
Yeah, that's 100% a grand slam. Holy crap, he smacked that thing. Three home run night for Bryce Harper. Not to become a baseball podcast, but
yeah, anywho. Yeah. Shout out to High Hopes. Anywho, so about Fedotov. Here's the kicker, what people need to understand about what it's coming like from the KHL to the NHL. It is a world of difference. Over there, they pass, and when they have a wide open net, they pass again to the guy who's covered, and then they finally shoot. So it's a lot of patience. So that's a benefit for goaltender's development. But at the same time, you're also, oh my God, he murdered that baseball. Jesus Christ, I'm just seeing in my hand. Holy shit, what a bomb. But anyway, so to go back, so I digress. So coming from the KHL, They pass, 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 pass. And then when they have a wide open net, they pass one more time. So that's what the KHL does. So you develop a lot of patience with it. What he has to adjust to in the NHL. Now, he's played in an NHL-sized rink, so that's not going to be the concern. It's way that a goaltender has to set up. And so when you're called the what's called the RVH, that's when you see the goalies when they're down on one knee and their body's leaned up against the post, their leg is flush out and taking away the middle, and their back leg is on the other side. Because shots come from everywhere, in the NHL, you have to clog the holes. So with the holes, that's the important thing that he has to get used to. It's much more technical. So it's not just reacting to a shot and making a save. You have to be in a position, which he showed great anticipation with last night. I need to see more of him. I need to see more of him.
I mean, I think
I have to see him start a game and play a full 60 minutes.
Yeah, we need to see that 60 minutes, which, again, I think we'll get later this week. And I think he's going to get a good amount of – which is scary, which I'll get into in a second. But, like, the good thing is – and I think what was to his benefit in those first 40 minutes that he got starting in the second period and that they should continue to ride on, and maybe – correct me if I'm overthinking this – there's no tape for opponents to figure out what Fedotov is bad at. What they figured out with Ersin was that was his glove side was very, very weak. High glove became very weak for Ersin.
High blocker has been a problem for him.
Yeah,
high blocker has been a huge problem. Last month it was the five hole. They fixed the five hole. Now they're going high blocker.
That's what I'm thinking. Sorry.
He's been burned over the last 2 weeks with that.
So it's the blocker that – so they know that they have to shoot on the blocker side. They have absolutely nothing on Fedotov. Ride that. Especially in these last six games. Like, I know it's – what's scary is the fact that it's a guy that has, despite all the experience that we just talked about, you're throwing a literal rookie, despite being 27 years old, a rookie into a playoff-contending team, final six games in the 2023-2024 season, and you're like, hey, we need you to win these games. Mm-hmm. Not saying he's up for that pressure. I think he's embracing that pressure. He's a Russian nutbag, so of course he's like, Russians don't have pressure. Pressure have Russians. Like, that's what it is in their mindset. I'm fine with that. That is the risk. And I think if I were to put, again, I don't want to know what player he was talking about when he called the team soft from Tortorella. I want to know, are you going to ride Fedotov the rest of the way? That's what I think. If I had truth serum, I think he's riding Fedotov the rest of the way. And it's not an indictment on Ersin. And I think that is 100% it would be said in the truth serum too under Torts. I think he's out of gas. He's played more games this season than he was not anticipated to play. It's just he's started 44 games. He's played in 46. That doesn't sound like a lot. But for a guy that's in his first year that was supposed to be pushing the starter and then became the starter himself, that's a lot. And now you kind of have this release valve in Ivan, and you can just say, if it works, great. If we don't make the playoffs, it's going to suck. It's going to hurt the fan base, but we tried. Maybe that's the mindset. I want Fedotov playing these last six games. Maybe not all of them, majority of them. Well, especially if you ride Fedotov for the next four games, theoretically you might be able to clinch.
Well, here's how you're going to look at it. The Buffalo, you got to see what Buffalo does, because despite Buffalo being a bad team, they've been beating some of these playoff pushing teams lately. Right now they're up on the Caps 3-2.
I was going to say, they're 3. Speak. Yeah.
But let's look at, if you look at Buffalo's schedule, what they've done over the past 2 weeks. So they beat the Golden Knights 7-2. They beat the Red Wings 7-3. And they beat the Flames. Excuse me. And they beat the Devils. And right now they're beating the Capitals. So over the past couple weeks they beat the Lightning a few weeks ago. That was actually at the end of February. It doesn't matter. but it's set a few weeks ago. Oh, and also on March 9th, they beat the Oilers in a shootout.
So yeah, they're not a team that you can lay down on.
They're not a team that you can just roll over on. No, they're not like Columbus. And even Columbus, they have enough talent where you can't run over them, roll over them. I would start Fedotov, and I would start Erickson against Columbus. Give him a little bit of an easier matchup. And then go back on the 9th when you're at Montreal again, throw Fedotov back in. And the 11th against the Rangers, you can't start Fedotov. You can't. You cannot start Fedotov. And again, that game at the Garden on April 11th, you cannot. And here's why. Because you got to make sure that Erickson can win you one of those games. Because if you're going to play them in the playoffs or be pushing for a playoff spot, well, there still are. If you're still alive, he's got to get his confidence back somehow. Whether it's confidence, whether he's gassed. If he doesn't have it, you got to force it out of him. Because your last two games of the season, game 81 and game 82, are both at home. And game 82 could be the biggest game in this team's history since April of 2010, where you had to play Washington. Winning, you're in. That's a situation we could be looking at again. You got six games left. You're not going to win all of them. You're not. You hope they do. That'd be great, going on a six-game winning streak. But I can see this team doing this. Beating Buffalo on Friday night, a back-to-back against Columbus, maybe dropping that one in a shootout or something like that. Finally beating Montreal, losing to the Rangers, somehow probably losing to the Devils. The Devils aren't out of it, I had.
Yep.
And so then having to win the last game. And then having to win, and having to win that last game of the season, get that last 2 points.
That's going to be crazy.
We're the team that's got two games in hand. So you really can't afford to lose any of them. So going back, because here's the question, and I don't want to speculate because I want to wait till they get in before we have this conversation. You start for Fedotov now to give Erickson a break because you're having a couple, wouldn't say easy teams, but they're not the Rangers. As much as I would like to see Fedotov play against a team like the Rangers, I think you need Erickson, and you need Erickson because you're probably going to, if you're going to get in the playoffs, you're going to have to start with Erickson. You're going to have to start with
Erickson. I don't disagree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have to. He's earned it. He's earned it. Like, look, he's tired. He's tough now, but the guy's been thrust in maybe 50 games this year where he wasn't expected to. Almost 50 games.
They have a good problem to have, assuming, and I'm assuming they're going to re-sign him because obviously his rights are, he's a free agent or an RFA. I'm not even sure what the Fedotov situation is. I just know this was the final year of his rights being signed. So you're like,
the contract told from last year. So he was on a 1 year deal. The contract told to this year, and this year it counts.
Right. So I'm assuming they're going to re-sign him. And then you have a good problem to have, which is two solid goalies vying for each other. And you hopefully get 82 games of what you anticipated to get from Carter Hart and Erickson. Now you have
You got to think of Alexei Kolosov, too, down in the AHL.
Yeah. Who's down? Yeah, I was going to say.
He's going to push as well. I mean, it's very possible by the end of next season that you could have two Russian goaltenders on this roster, something I don't think we'd ever, anybody in Philadelphia would ever anticipate.
I don't think we anticipated something like a Shesterkin and Gorgiev type of situation down
here. Correct.
Which is crazy. I wanted to close with this. You brought it to my attention. I am fascinated by this idea. I have thoughts on this idea. 32 thoughts with Elliot Friedman was thinking that there could be playoff expansion for the NHL in the coming years. I hate that idea. I think 16 teams out of 32 total teams is just right, 50%. I think it's just aesthetically pleasing. I think it's a good number. But, I get why if the general rule that I have come to accept is if a league is thinking about expanding something, they're going to expand it. Whether that is for the better or worse of the fan base, they're going to expand it. So I anticipate this fully to happen. I will.
It's anything but a guarantee. Mm-hmm. So it's more of like speculation that it could happen, rather not. Because let's talk, and Elliot, if you listen to 32 Thoughts this week, which if you're a hockey fan, I encourage you to, because you will learn a lot about what happens behind the scenes, because Elliot Friedman talks a lot about that stuff. he brought up a really good point, saying that his hill to die on was that he believes that the NHL said last year in 2023 that they have no plans to do it anytime soon. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen. The NHL is also talking expansion, as surprising as that may sound. So the idea behind it is that have a play-in round, kind of like the NBA does, where you have 9, 10 seeds, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Here's why. If you look at the standings this year, let's go through them, Bill, real quick, okay? I'm going to name you some teams, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to tell me big market, small market, okay? All right? Yep. Small market means is that, you know, they have their fan base there, but they're not a big draw because sure. they're not in a major city. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Tampa.
Small.
Washington.
Medium, but leaning towards big.
No, I'd say small because they're transient.
Yeah. Okay.
excuse me. Detroit.
Small.
Detroit's a small market.
Oh, sorry. Big.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Small. That's small, but because of who it is, it's big.
Okay. Montreal.
Huge.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Okay. So let's talk about them. Let's see. So Detroit, big market. Montreal, big market. Ottawa.
Small, I guess. I don't know. I don't know Canada. I mean, it's the capital. I know it's the capital of Canada.
Okay. New York Islanders.
I mean, the name carries, it's the other, it's like this redheaded stepchild. That's mm-hmm. not named the New Jersey Devils, so I would say big, but
okay.
I could argue small.
I'm going to say big on that one because you have all of Long Island, a lot of New York, all right? And you have a lot of New York there as well.
Yep.
All right, I'll argue big. St. Louis.
Small.
That's a big market. No, that's a big market. Absolutely. That's the whole Midwest right there.
Yeah,
Minnesota.
Big, but...
Big market. Okay, yeah. All right. Seattle.
I guess big.
Big market. Okay. All right. Calgary.
Huge. Big.
Okay.
Big, leaning on huge.
All right. Chicago.
Huge.
Okay. What do all those teams I just named have in common?
They're on the outside looking in.
Bingo. How does the NHL make money?
Yeah. Big markets making money.
Right. But how do they make money?
Ticket sales, revenue, like that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Ticket sales are the biggest thing. This league is driven off of gate revenue. The gates that you pay for your ticket to go see the game are what fund the league. If his whole point was this, excuse me, his whole point was this. If you expand the playoffs, having like an aggregate like they do in soccer, or having a play-in round, a best out of two, best out of three, you're going to have a team where basically you have seeds 9, 10, 11, and 12. So let's just expand this a little bit. So let's say that you would have the wild card. You have the top three in each division, and then you have your first two wild cards. Basically, you'd have Detroit playing the Devils and the Islanders playing the Penguins, all to vie in to getting two more playoff spots. When that happens, when they play, you're going to have a team like, say that the Devils, you know, beat the Red Wings. You're going to have a team like the Devils going on and playing against Boston in a shorter, I'm sorry, in a more favorable first round for that opponent. The whole idea behind the playoff expansion is this, is that that adds revenue for a couple games where that arena would be sold out for a playoff game if those games were in the island and if they were in Detroit. That means the cap is going to go up. That means more hockey-related revenue. That means that the league has a better chance of expansion and making more money off it. Because with those major markets like Detroit, the Islanders, even the Penguins that sell out for God knows how long, with them not making the playoffs for a second year in a row, that's a lot of money that team is losing. Now, the flip side of that is the Flyers have kind of been in that boat for a long time, and it's not about from a it doesn't add to the competition. What it does, it adds the money. So the whole point is okay, you can take two games off the regular season, or you can, instead of adding more games, you could take a game off the regular season or two, go down to 80 regular season games, and then you have your play-in games there. Everybody's going to be watching. Everybody's going to be into it. Because if you have a team like the Devils who are completely on the outside looking in, all of a sudden they're getting hot at the regular season. They win the play-in round. All of a sudden, oh my God, they're the Stanley Cup champions at the end of the year. How the hell did that happen? All from the play-in round. Getting hot at the right time. You're not kidding. That wouldn't cause a stir in a good way. People
talking. Yeah, that's why I hate that's see that, that that right there is why I would hate it. Like, there's a difference between an eight, whatever it is now, a wild card winning a Stanley Cup now than what that scenario is that you just presented. It's it would feel cheap comes to mind, but that's just the first thought that popped in my head now. I don't like this idea because, again, I like that it's exactly 50% of teams making the playoffs. Look, I get where you're coming from or where the league would be coming from because they want teams to be better. Well, like Chicago
honestly, it's about money. It's about making the cap go up.
It's all about money. And that's why, like, no matter how much I hate it, it's not going to matter because if they are going to do this in 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, it's going to happen. Like, that's it's inevitable. It's Thanos. He's inevitable. So I just don't like the thought of making this, forcing teams in just because you're mad that it's not a big market team. Like, I get, again, I know why they're going to do it. That it's all about the dollar. But like, if these teams were managed better, then they would. If these teams were managed better, they would make the playoffs. Like,
Elliot was speculating, but I agree with your point of that they managed better. That's the key. But here's the issue. Here's the bigger issue. What people need to understand. I understand there's revenue sharing in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get it. Teams, they all split up the revenue and everything. But when your big market teams aren't pulling in the additional dough, the cap can't go up. Do you think that Carolina, oh my God, Carolina's been good for 10 years. So they have a station of people there. How much bigger do you think their outreach is? It's not much. Yeah, not in the Carolinas. But in Philadelphia, when you have sustained success, a different story. That's why with the Rangers being on top of the division, actually a huge thing for the NHL because you have your biggest market in the league, the biggest market in the United States, they're not Toronto. The biggest market in the United States where that building is sold out every night. So that's huge for the league, huge hockey-related revenue. The fact that the Flyers fans have come back this year, huge hockey-related revenue for the league. And I know people don't want to hear the business side. They just want to watch hockey. I get that. But you have to understand the business side of why it's important. Because you bitch about the cap not going up. The cap can't go up if teams like Carolina or old teams like Carolina, Tampa, and like
sure, but
Florida
it's already going
always
up.
At the top because there isn't enough revenue in those markets to sustain it.
I understand that, but but we're anticipating the cap to go up anyway. We talk about how
because coming back from the COVID thing. I'm talking about even
but
going
still
bigger.
It's going up. And
yeah, but not much. It's going up, but it can go up more. I'm saying there's more possibility for it to go
anything
up
can
more.
Go up more. It's like the anything can go up more. Like, that's my point. Like, they don't need to force feed a roundabout way to make the cap go up by expanding the playoffs just because they're not dying for cash. Like, these teams...
It's not about dying for cash. You're missing
it's
the
just
picture.
Being wanting to get more money. That's all it is.
No, okay. Also, not only does it add excitement.
I never thought I would see the day where you were defending the corporate greed.
I'm not defending corporate greed. I'm making the point of why playoff expansion would be worth it. Okay, for instance, let me give you a great example. Okay, let's look at a team like Winnipeg. Winnipeg is not a huge market. Their arena is like 13,000 seats. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, the Flyer seats is 19,500. They have 6,500 more seats than the MTS or the MTS Center does. 6,500. That's $50 a ticket. That's $300,000 per game. So that's my point, Bill, is that there's so much opportunity and changing the fact that you have to deduct 25%. Canadian teams are a 25% disadvantage because of the dollar. So you're talking 41 games. Let me get my handy dandy calculator out. So it's 6,500 seats at $50 a pop. That's $325,000 a game times how many games a season? 41 at home. That's $13,325,000 that is not being able to be collected by the league, okay, because of $6,500 seats. My point is that if you could fill those seats for playoff style play-in rounds for two markets, you're going to recoup that $13 million right there in two games, plus add excitement. And it adds to the fact that, hey, look, it expands it. It's more TV revenue. It makes the cap go up so you don't have to make these cap casualty moves. Or if you suck like a team like Toronto will in 3 years, see what I did there?
All right. There it is.
See, like in Toronto in 3 years, and you have cap space available, you can move that around and use that as leverage to get better. The whole point I've thought about, I agree with Elliot on, is that this, is that if you expand the NHL playoffs and that play-in round like they had in the bubble, that was exciting as hell. And it actually, that Columbus got in and beat Toronto with John Tortorella there. So, yeah, and then they went and they went in the first game against Tampa, the team that won the Stanley Cup and took them to five overtimes. So I'm telling you, that's the excitement that would be added to it. Plus the revenue portion is the bigger reasoning behind it, but it adds the excitement and the average fan can get into that. So that's my whole point of why I would say expand it. Because look, if you're not really that good, then you won't get in and that's fine anyway. So, I mean, it's still, because it's going to be a shame. Like, you know, last year, it's a shame because even when you look out west, you're like, the Golden Knights are hanging on like that. They're in a third of the division. Los Angeles got 87 points. The Blues have 84. And then you have the Wild at 79. You know, the rest of them are 75 and below. But the East is so tight. Like, you're just, you have one, two, three, four, five teams still in position to get a playoff spot. That last wild card, like, they have a shot at it. That's what you want, right? You want that excitement?
Yeah, I'm all about excitement. I'll give you that. All right.
All right. What do you think? Do they need to expand the playoffs or should they expand the playoffs? Is it an inevitable moment that is coming down the pike in a couple of years, whenever that may be? I know we're just speculating, but at some point, if they're speculating on it now, it's probably going to happen in a few years. That's just how this works in the sports world. For better or for worse, that's how it goes. Thank you so much for listening. As always, this has been Orange and Backcheck, episode 173. Brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. Make sure you're following us at HockeyPodNet and all of our shows that are a part of it. And of course, DraftKings Sportsbook, promo code THPN, promo code THPN. Bet $5 and get 200 bets instantly into your account. Make sure you're following us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all of that good stuff. At Orange and Backcheck, all on that. Orange and Backcheck at gmail.com. If you have a question, if you want to react, should they expand the playoffs, and so on. And until next time, which might not be until, this might be our final regular season pod, depending on our schedule. We're going out of town with how things have shaken up, but we'll see. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, see you in the playoffs, hopefully.